The conference will now begin.
Okay, it's 12 o'clock. Let's resume our learning of Das Midasecha from Rav Schwartz from the Bilvavi. We're working on some of the more difficult and extreme Midas that come from the Yesod of Afar. This parak test is about Tikkun HaAchzarius. That those nakudas of achzarius, of cruelty, that are to be found within a person, even the nicest people. And we're talking about the tikkun that could take place through the different yesodas, as we've been doing throughout the sefer. Achzarius, of course, comes from the yesod of Afar. And we're talking about the tikkun that we can work on through the Yesod of Eish. So on the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Zayin, the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Zayin. Gam b'Yesod of Eish, yesh no tikkun misuim l'midas achzarius. We can use the Yesod of Fire, of Eish, as a way also of repairing Midas Achzarius. Now this is not Poshet at all, but it's something that we're all familiar with as part of life. We just don't necessarily pay attention to how it could be useful or positive. Yisod Eish Harei Inyan Chamimus V'Yovesh. The Yisod of Fire, of course, is Chamimus, is heat, and dryness, and Yovesh. As we learned, that dryness is a fire, is the shorish of achzaris, of cruelty. K'moshu huskar in Afar, which is, of course, the essence of Afar. K'moshu huskar le'el shebesefer mishlei nimnes achzaris kechelek me'akaz. And we learned that achzaris is a category of anger. It's a type of anger. Cruelty and anger go together. And they are both very deeply rooted in and fire. Now what we're going to learn is that kas, anger, is itself a tikkun for achzarius. Now that's not to say, and Rav Schwartz will explain, that anger is ever justifiable, or maybe it sometimes is, but very rarely justifiable. Nevertheless, we'll learn how kas plays a role in the tikkun of achzarius. Page Kuf Lamed Ches, Maduo Y. Achzarius gemura yesh la shtei panim k'moshen esbora. Absolute cruelty has two panim, as we learned. Hayala tefeses shadav yavesh ein bochius. We learned about that animal that throws its baby down the mountain, doesn't see the value of its life, the importance of its life. And then we spoke about the nachash, the snake. Tofesh yesh kan chius, hakan hu seifa. With the snake acknowledges that there's life to this being, but what's the tachlis? The snake's view of things is that everything's going to die, and there's no hemshech. Ultimately, there's no hemshech to anything. That's the view of the snake, of how the snake looks at this world of life. There's no tachlis, because as we spoke about this at length, sheyesh kan chiyus ach kan husayfa. There is some chiyus for a short time, but there's no hemshech, there's no continuation. There's no future, there's nothing. Everything ends here. Everything ends in the grave. The whole inyan of the nachash in Gan Eden and death that it brought to the world, there's no hemshech. There's no continuation. there's that feeling of doom. In Mimela, since there's no continuation and everything is doomed and we're all doomed, so what's the point of anything? What's the point? And the Ahzarias of the snake comes from that feeling of self, of no hamshach. We learned a lot about that. Kashemizgala Ahzarias Be'esh. When the Ahzarias is revealed in fire, mitzad ha-yovish ha-be'esh, mitzad the dryness of the fire, ein kan chiyas. There's no chiyas. Ava mitzad ha-choym she-be'esh. Cruelty contains within it the fire. It contains within a fire, a heat, a warmth. Igaremus l'achzarius l'hisparitz. And whereas when something is dry, it's passive. It's unmotivated. But when something is on fire, when something is hot, it's on fire. So then, Igaremus l'achzarius l'hisparitz. Then the Ahzarius is no longer something which is passive or quiet. It becomes explosive. The Shosh Ahzarius mispareces, and when that cruelty is mispareces, when it bursts out, when it explodes, Hashihi kiblachis, it's alive, it's on fire. The kant chilas tikun. And that fire, which could be so terrible and so destructive, at the same time, is the beginning of the tikkun. What does that mean? Hakas vaday shu shlili. Anger, of course, is something which is terrible. It's negative. Venim megim mitzad tikkun, and it's not even to be used as the Sfarim say mitzad tikkun. We have to be very careful, never ever to get angry. Ach sof kosof, but nevertheless, there are those moments in life. And Kaz is there. And when Kaz is present, Yilachias, there's Chias. Where there's Kaz, there's Chias. You can't, page Kuf Lamed Ches, you can't accuse anger of being passive. You can't accuse anger of being lifeless, of being dry. Anger is something which is filled with Chias. Kuf Lamechas. Right, it says Hakas. Anger is filled with chias. Now, the chias of anger is something which is negative. It's destructive, but it has a mila. The fire of chias is that it's alive. And as the tzaddik can say, that as long as there's life, there's hope, right? As long as there's life, there's hope. In other words, he gives a mashal in a minute. We'll see the mashal he brings. We're going to talk in the next parak about sin, about hatred. There's a famous quotation from Elie Wiesel where Elie Wiesel said that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. That's what Elie Wiesel said. It's a very, very deep and perceptive sentence. That the opposite of love is not hate. Because sof kol sof, when there's hate, it means that the sugi is still open. There's still fighting. There's still anger. It's still labedik. But when there's apathy, total afar, total dryness, total coldness, I don't even get angry about it. This thing is so, I care so little about this. I have no interest at all. Ad kedekach, I don't get angry about it. It doesn't anger me because I'm completely apathetic about it. It doesn't mean anything to me. I was talking about that a little bit by the Hilula, the Inyan of any of the Elishal, by Lag Barmet, any of the Elishal. Any of the Elishal we were talking about means not that the kid isn't smart. Das is a lotion of connecting. Any of the Elishal means this thing that you're talking about is so meaningless to me, I'm not even interested in asking a question about it. You could have a very talented teacher, and the teacher gets up in front of the class, and in order to sort of excite the kids, will let out some very, very radical, extreme idea, hoping that somehow that'll rattle the kids and get them away from their cell phone and get them away from the phone. And the teacher does her best or his best to come up with like a doozy that should shock the olam, like Chazal tells the famous Medrash that Rabbi Kiva was darshaning. Rabbi Kiva said to the olam that how is it possible that Esther Malka came to be a queen over 127 provinces? Because she's the great-granddaughter of Sari Menu, who lived to be 127. So the Sarma are all talking about, like, what does that mean? The Medrash is saying that the Kiva saw that the Olam, that the Talmidim were falling asleep. And he said something outrageous. Of course, when the Kiva says something outrageous, there's a Pnimis of a Pnimis in what he was saying. But on the surface, every parent and every teacher knows that sometimes you see that the kid is just so completely disengaged that you don't know how to get him back in. You just try to say something crazy, something unusual, something different, to do something that's different. Because the Ein Yodei L'Shaul is so completely disengaged, the Bechal is not interested. What you have to say. It doesn't get angry. When the kid is angry at his parents, it's still a madrega. It's still a madrega. When he's angry, means he's crying out. He wants there to be some sort of a relationship. He's angry. He could be screaming and yelling and carrying on. I tell this to parents all the time. And, you know, there's a kid that's an angry kid. The kid that's angry is still leibedik. There's chiyus to him. There's a fire in him. He wants something from you. But once you have a kid that, God forbid, is any day list, so like, well, doesn't, you could do anything, it doesn't make a difference to him. He doesn't care. So even though kas, anger, is something which is terribly destructive, it's a fire that destroys, but sof kol sof, it's a fire. And because of that, he explains a kas, v'adai shu shlili v'enem igir mitzadatik, and ach sof kol sof, Hakas gilachias. Sofkos of kas means that there's chias, there's life. Haymosay al ha'adam kales. And 10 lines down. When is a person angry? In yesh l'adam ben shulkaris yayish mi pulaysov. If there's a father who has a son and the father's already given up on the kid, v'ushuv pal mashu neged aviv, akidekach, that the kid does something again against the father, of kralo koisov, and the father doesn't get angry. You know, the kids will do things to get the parents upset. I don't think any parent needs an explanation. Kid will do something l'chadchila, even though she might not be conscious of that, but he wants to see the parent emote, he wants to see the parent is angry, is upset. Because if the parent is angry, it means that there's still a chiyus in the relationship, but the parent cares about me. But if the kid just does something, and the father does something that in the past got the father upset, but now, of Kralo Koyesalov, the father doesn't even get angry about it. The father is so far from this kid, Shalomit Yechesalov Bechlam. He doesn't even get angry. Alimu Adayin Mitzapri Menu Lamashu. If the father is still hoping to get something out of this kid, he still sees that the parish is alive, that the case is open, that there's some hope for this kid. And in that situation, where there's still hope, and the kid does the opposite of what the father was expecting, also of course, and the father gets angry. The kas megalus adayin yesh chiyus l'davar. The kas shows that there's still chiyus over here. And ain lo chiyus, then lo kosim alof. But if there's no life, if this relationship is dead, lo kosim alof. You have couples that are married for 60, 70 years, And in the early years, it was mamish a fire. It was an eish lahava. Fighting and screaming. Oh, it's an eish lahava. And that same couple also had a fire of certain passion when things were good. But then the years go by, and the things that used to upset him and the things that used to make her crazy, they don't react to that anymore. So as an outside observer of this couple, you would say, isn't this beautiful how they worked out their inyanim in life? Doesn't mean that they necessarily worked out anything. It just means that they've become so apathetic about ever fixing this that it just doesn't bother them anymore. It's because that person no longer occupies an important place in your heart. And when that place has been forfeited, has been lost for whatever reason, you don't get angry anymore. So there's no great passion when it comes to love, and there's no great passion when it comes to anger. It's just not important anymore to you. There are other things. You get upset about politics, you get upset about money, but your wife doesn't upset you anymore because it doesn't mean anything anymore. That's terrible. So even on the outside, it looks like they've come to some nice new relationship of respect and peace and so on. Love, Davka. It could be just so, there's so much apathy. And the opposite of love is apathy, not hate. Hate, there's still fire, there's still anger. This is, well, not to care. There's a tikkun. There's a tikkun. When there's hate, I mean, anti-Semitism is a vile, disgusting and destructive koach in the world. But sof kol sof, there's still a chiyus, like a Jew still matters. Yeah, he's still chashish. And we know that the big anti-Semites is because the bigger the anti-Semite, the more he's machshiv Jews. That's why he gets them crazy. That's what we saw from the biggest anti-Semites. It's a kid, they're machshir of a Jew. And we know that there were famous Germans, the machshir ones, that they said, it's either the Jew or us. They understood that, that the world is divided between the Aryans and the Jews. And if we don't win, the Jews are going to destroy us. They had such a havana of the chesivus of the Jew. But you have other people that they're not machshir. A Jew doesn't mean anything to them. It doesn't mean anything. There's a certain quality of Asher Karcha that the Chlal doesn't mean anything anymore. So I know it's very hard to put a positive spin on anti-Semitism, and I'm not saying it's a limud schus at all. They should all rot. I'm not saying that it's a limud schus. But the fact that there's so much anti-Semitism that is resurfacing, that's just coming out again. That doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be a tikkun. It means that the world is getting ready for something, Mr. Shem, should be a big tikkun, something much bigger. But Jews are still at the top of the list of what gets the world upset. We thought that we were slipping into, you know, eighth place or something, behind, you know, other races or other things, and now it's clear. Once again, that we never ever lost our standing in the eyes of the world as being the most despised and the most hated. And the world's cooking over Jews. It's labor, it's a chiz in the world because of Jews. It's talking about Jews and angry about what Jews want. So there, it's still a certain chesivus that Jews have. And as terrible as that is, this cause, I mean, if I said it this more, that's terrible. But in it, there are also very, 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 very faint and vague, unclear way. They're also the seeds of tikkun. They're the seeds of tikkun. It means that when somehow the repair will take place, there'll be great love. And the descriptions that we have in Navi of how the nations of the world are going to see Am Yisrael at the end of time is post tikkun, which we can't be masik. If you asked me, like, what would I like to see happen with the Umas Olam? You know, the nations of the world after Mashiach comes. I'm not, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, it's not nice. I'm not looking for them to have any tikkun. I don't want them to have anything bad to happen to them. Just go away and don't bother us, you know. It's pretty much my my vision of the end of time, just go away and just don't bother us. Take some continent or whatever it is, some part of the world, and just do what you want over there and just stop thinking about us, stop talking about us, stop writing about us, and just leave us alone. And we'll be with each other. And you don't have to have any of them over here at all. Who needs, here, I mean, that's just so, who needs them? But Baruch Hashem, I'm not in charge of the universe. And it's not up to me what's going to be at the end of time. Because when we look at Navi, we see there's all kinds of big tikkunim. And that the nations of the world are going to come up to Yerushalayim. It's going to be a whole big party. Labor Day, and how the nations are going to treat us and take look after us. And, huh? Yeah, to lift us up and to be throwing their money at us and their resources at us. And they're going to see us as Am Hashem. I am personally not in the mood for any of that. I don't need any of that. I'd rather not see, have a shaykhis than just to leave us alone. But that's not the tikkun. That's not what it means. The sakin oim malchus shin David you. That's not what it means. So the parasha of the world and Am Yisrael is not finished. So now that we see that again, such hatred and such anger, it means there's chiyus. That's what Rav Schwartz is explaining in terms of the midas of a person. How is it possible that kas could ever be a tikkun for anything? The answer is that it is. It is. Of course, it's terribly destructive. But in that, there's still a fire that's burning. Achzar shakois, when you have a person who's acting out in a way that's cruel, that's nasty, and he's angry, that's him, he's no longer in just pure offer mode. He's not totally dry. Ella, who be yovish al yisoda eish, he's in the yovish of the yisoda fire, should starve for love chamimus. And fire means that there's heat. And heat means that something is cooking. Borish lo zahatikun hashalom v'amiti. Look, no one says that when the Achzar is getting angry, that's a peak, that's the ultimate tikkun that comes, and that's shleimus. Of course not, chas v'chalila. Aval, however, hachamimus shi b'soda eish, when you have the warmth of the heat of fire, shemistaref is achzarius, and it's joined with achzarius, ma'amida tchila shal mahalach she'en kan achzarius gemur. It's the beginning, or it's a sign that in this situation, it's not achzarius demur. There's still hope for love. There's still hope for the cruelty to end and for the anger to end. In the fire itself, in that fire itself, one of the things that I always found very disturbing with the Germans in Ashkelon was that they carried out the malacha with such coldness. What do I mean by that? That it was like a casual thing. What's his name? The one that Rudolf Haas, Yimach Shemoy, he was in charge of the whole killing machine at Auschwitz and Birkenau. He had on the campus, on the premises, I don't know how he didn't mind the smell, but he had there was pictures of his villa and his swimming pool and his kids jumping in and out of the pool and having like a barbecue. So there's Jews that are being barbecued a half a kilometer away, and he's sitting over there. And the malacha, It doesn't mean anything. It's just complete detachment. The Achzarius is an Achzarius Gemur. An Achzarius Gemur. It's just carried out with coldness, with Ofer Sheba'ofer. Ofer Sheba'ofer. There are stories about how, you know, they used to give them a lot to drink. The German soldiers that were throwing bodies and burning bodies out to make them, like, less sensitive. Because, Sof Kosof, many of them were like human beings and How could they do that kind of stuff? Many of them lost their minds. Many of them killed themselves. And, you know, not enough, but some did. But the thing that you had by the Nisim of Germany, by the leaders, was without anything, without any emotion, nothing. That's Achzayis Gemurah. There's no tikkun for such a thing. When a person is upset, is epis, something, is achis. The fees are not in Sha'imak Achzayis, ain't a bepula shal Achzayis. He says a very deep thing now. The depths of cruelty is not doing something cruel. That's horrible. But that's not the oimek of cruelty. What's the oimek of Achzarius? El betfisa shel dover ein chiyus. Is the tfisa, is that way of thinking that this person has no chiyus? This person is insignificant. His life is meaningless. Like we spoke about, like, you know, a fly that's bothering you and you just squat it, you squish it, you step on an ant. It's not tfisas achayim, the flow. It's not fire, anger. It's not goyres that there's any chiyus at all. Or like the snake, that there's no hemshach to this, doesn't mean anything. There's no consequences to the life of this fly or to the life of this bug, this ant. Now, we don't understand how could human beings be so cruel. But they have been, and they can be. Now, we've seen that. That ad kedei kach, that there's a tfisa that the life of this life that I'm now destroying is not a life. It's not typhus makumas for you. It's a face makumas. It doesn't. I'm not gyrus, this is a life. It doesn't mean anything to me. It means nothing. Like Stalin Mashmo said, that one person that's killed is a human being. But a million is a statistic. That's what Stalin said. It's not gyrus at all. It doesn't mean anything. Stalin was responsible for more deaths than Hitler Mashmo. He was killed more people. It doesn't mean anything. It's not gyrus at all. There's no chiyus at all. That's the oimek of Achzarius. It's hard to believe that a person could, but that's the oimek of Achzarius. His parsu shel Achzarius, he be'etzem tchilas tikkun. But when there's an explosion that comes with anger, rage, that's the etzem tchilas tikkun. As scary as it is, that has in it the seeds of tikkun. For Hashlam also bebitul, obviously. Hashlam means you have to get rid of this achzar. The shleimus of the tikkun means there's no more achzarius. We're not talking about good achzarius. Although we'll see that there is such a thing as achzarius de kedusha. With everything, there's something of kedusha. But as far as the negative trait of achzarius, it has to be completely uprooted. It has to be destroyed. What the source is explaining that, however, the rage, the anger, contains within it the seeds of the tikkun, of the beginning of the tikkun. Of course, in most situations, especially with racists, anti-Semites, and so on, you never get to the good part. It's just the cruelty. Just the cruelty. But an otherwise fine person, a decent person, who has some qualities, or sometimes has demonstrated some madrega of achzarius, the fact that there's anger is the beginning of the tikkun. Hadugma hapshuta sheiskarnu, shehi achzarius de kedusha. Mashnema v'cheta egel. So where do you see achzarius de kedusha? This is very dangerous, but where do you see such a thing? In the aftermath of the cheta egel, says in Pasuk, Hagu Ishas Achiv, the Ishas Re'eo, the Ishas Krovei, that after the Chet HaEgel, so Jews began to kill other Jews that were responsible. So people are killing their brothers, and they're killing their friends, and they're killing their relatives. That's what it says in Pasuk. Okay, Ve'ehu Krayvai. Hey, Ide Harigas Ishas Echav. It's okay, that's Krayvai, Misakimus Midas Azariz. How is it possible that by carrying out something that is an act that is cruel, you're in some way fixing the Midas Azariz? How could there be such a cruelty that one Jew should kill another Jew? If a person kills his brother, it means that he is a fire that's burning that caused him to like lose his mind. Did he kill his brother? And here begins the Tikkun of Azarius, that began with the killing that took place after the Chet HaEgel. Obviously, all this is bad stuff. We're just trying to get to the bottom of the Midah. V'nila'el, b'sugiyas ha'azaz v'kashiyas ha'ayar from his blood, she'yeshno kashi, she'shar shal b'yisad ha'ofar, she'zeh ikka sugiyas ha'inu, he spoke about it a while back when we were discussing Azus and Kashis Erev, that there's a certain koshi, a harshness, a hardness that's rooted in the Yisod of Afar, but there's also a koshi, Shashar Shabadas, that's rooted in one's way of thinking. Shadas hi takifa. With the Da'as, or Sakva, the Da'as is the strength of that Kashius. He's going to explain what that means. Hadas Chola Bifnim, Bepanim rather, Bemakam Trilin Shabemetzach. The place on the head where you put the Trilin is the place of Da'as. The Trilin Sharosh, right? That's the place of Da'as. When we can Megia have Chonas Azus Metzach, we spoke about Azus Metzach. We spoke about Ksheirav. This goes back a while, and the film that are worn by the neck. We can have chonis Ksheirav. Now, Kshenova Lamshich is a kav holo with sugiyas achzarius. If you take this beyond the subject of stubbornness that we spoke about Ksheirav and so on. And we talk in the context of our sugi now, which is Achzarius. There's a certain Achzarius that comes from Tifus Hadas, from a very, very, very strong opinion. But you have you're so bound to a certain way of thinking that's called Tifus Hadas. And Achzarius can come from Tifus Hadas. The koach kach yeshna havchana kidrei gemara shat hamachacham tzorach liyos achzari al bonav al bnei beisa ka'orev. Now this is an eye-opening chazal which the Maral worked on, and Rav Schwartz is basing upon the Maral to explain. The gemara says that in order for something to be a talmud chacham, this is a sentence that's upsetting to many people who do not learn it properly. Especially to the housewives out there and the mothers. Gemara says, if somebody wants to be a true Talmud Chacham, he has to be an Achzori al Bonav al Bnei Beisakar. He has to be cruel to his family members like a raven, like an Orev. Now, the Orev is one of the animals that we learned about that is by nature, has this mid of Achzaris. So Gemara is a shocking Gemara. A Talmud Chacham has to be Achzori al Bonav Bnei Beisakar. One of the characteristics of a Talmud Chacham is Achzarius. Now, obviously, this is not the usual way we use the word in English, cruelty. The Talmud Chacham is a loving, wonderful person. It's not cruel. So what does it mean in the Gemara when it says that a Talmud Chacham has to be Achzori al Bonav Bnei Beisakar? What does that mean? A Talmud Chacham has to be cruel to his family. Ka'ored, like a raven. Now, this is obviously an Achzarius Kedusha. Now we're talking about some kind of a holy Achzarius. So we have to get rid of the English word cruel, because it's just that that's not going to work over here. Exacting. Maybe that's definitely helpful. We'll see if we can come up with something better, but that's helpful. So you have the kedusha. Lamosa das the kilkul zui b'chinas bilam yodea das elyon v'olavam chazal shuv achzer shabikesh leker umeshleima. Those are called das the kilkul. There's das of achzaris the kedusha, and there's the das of Bilam, who also had das. Bilam is a person of great das. But his das led to just Stam Achzarius. He wanted to commit genocide. Bilam was prepared to wipe out the entire Jewish people. So even though he was Yodea Das Elyon, he had a das that his way of thinking was a way of extreme cruelty. His way of thinking was to commit genocide, to wipe out Am Yisrael. But then you have the das of the Talmud Chacham. Because the essence of a Talmud Chacham is his das. And a Talmud Chacham, in order to be a Talmud Chacham, he needs to have this quality of Achzarius de Kedusha. Achzarius de Kedusha. To be an Achzori al Bonav al Bnei Beis HaKarev. Now, I understood that when you suggested exacting, it means that you have to discipline the kids. You have to see to it that the home is not hefker. So there needs to be, your heart would say, give the kid as much ice cream as he wants. Let her go out and play till let her go out and play with her friends till 2 in the morning. But you have to be nechzari. I mean, you can't run a household like that. A and B, not doing the kids a favor, because they're going to get totally messed up by that. So in Pashtus we understand that there needs to be a certain mida of achzarius to keep things healthy and under control, which is for the welfare of the kids as well. So even though your heart is telling you, go ahead, do whatever you want, but you have to be an achzari to be a parent. That's true. And that's also a type of an achzarius de kedusha. Remember one of the kids saying it at the table when I said you can't have another dessert or something. So the kid said, I'm not going to do that to my children. My children are always going to have as much as they want. I said, okay, we'll see. And I reminded her of this already a few times. When she says, because now I'm a grandfather and I'm trying to give the kid a little bit more, you know, to have some extra portions. And now all of a sudden, my kind and compassionate daughter is saying to the kid, you know, it's enough already. But telling me, Daddy, please, you know, it's enough. And I'd like to give more. And I understand she's responsible for the kid's health and the kid's teeth and the kid's whatever. So there's a certain achzarius that a parent has to have, a teacher has to have, in order to keep things healthy. And that's true. But what he's talking about here is not that. The Gemara is not talking about that. Because the Gemara is talking about not the qualification of a parent. Because what we just said about being exacting is true of any parent. It's talking about the qualifications of a Talmud Chacham.
Unwavering is not better.
So, to be unwavering in his
what needs to be done.
Right. So now we're getting closer to the chat in the Gemara.
Which could be interpreted as cruelty.
For sure. Let's try a simple thing. I'm connected to Big Tzadik in Yerushalayim. Baruch Hashem, I am zochah to have a kesher with him. I just saw him when we were there. And he doesn't live at home the whole week. Comes home for Shabbos. I could only go on Yisrael. He's only going to come home for Shabbos. This tzaddik in Yerushalayim now, he has a room in the back of a shul, and he sits in that room, learning and davening all week long. And he comes back, I don't know exactly when, but he comes back out of Shabbos till after Shabbos. Maybe he stays most of Shabbos too, I don't know. I think he's almost a Shabbos. And that's it. Now, that to the outsider, and even to a person of Shabbat Mitzvahs, when you hear about that, you feel like that's cruel. Especially when the children were younger and there's a household. What kind of a thing is that? Can you imagine? Even if this would somehow get out, this Gemara, you know, into the, you know, out into the world, to hear such a thing, that, or this story that he's a tzaddik. What kind of tzaddik is that? Right away, you could already hear everybody holding up signs and protesting outside of his house, saying, "A true tzaddik is the one I know, my Rebbe in the Rebbe's, and he came home, and he first thing he did, he helped, and he did this, and he." Right, he was that's a Talmud Chacham, that's a tzaddik. But you tell me that a Talmud Chacham is achzari al bnei beisim, al bonav al bnei beisim. But this person stays away from his own house the whole week. Now clearly, this is not a hanhaga for the Jewish people and for an average person. And any average person that would do this would be cruel. It would be cruel. Now the fact is, in this situation, that the wife is the one that encourages him most. Rabbi Kiva, no one could handle the fact that Rabbi Kiva stayed away for so many years. Rabbi Kiva, as much as we love him, and the women, he was never as big a hero as he is in the eyes of the guys, because he left. I see, encouraged him. What do you mean? How do you leave him? What is that? It's not serious. How do you leave a person like that? How can you go away like that? And it's certainly not a hanhaga of the entire people. And regular people that would do that would be cruel. It would be mamish nachzarius. And yet, by this tzaddik, it's not bechlal. Chas v'chelil, it's not nachzarius. So what is this? Achzari, the Talmud Chacham has to be achzari, albon rab nei besakar. That he has, if you want to be a big Talmud Chacham, it means that you can't. It means that you don't run every single time that you hear your kid crying Abba. And you don't stay up all night sharing your responsibilities with the bottle and the feedings and so on. And again, I'm not in any way, nor is the Gemara suggesting that that's a hanhaga for regular people. I'm going to repeat it every 30 seconds because I know that there are those wonderful people out there who are waiting for chazals like this to, like, mangle and to distort. But for this tzaddik, for this Talmud Chacham, where he could be not an achzari al banav b'nei beiso, he would never have become the Talmud Chacham. And if you look into the background, not the stories that they put out in the books that's just to glorify it, to glamorize. But if you look into the real, real background of the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik, you'd be hard pressed to find anyone that was able to become a Talmud Chacham without this midah. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu with his own wife and family. Correct.
His sister Wilkinson.
Yeah. After the Vilna Gaon didn't see his sister for years. And there was a meeting, so he acknowledged it, and he showed him that he went back to life. Now, for us, it would have been 2 weeks every day getting together and picnicking and schmoozing and hanging out. And the Vilna Gaon said, nodded his head, like, "It's wonderful to see you." And that was the end of it. Finished. So, to the observer, it's cruel. The sister wasn't, but to the outside observer, it's cool. Akadekaste, it's almost impossible for people like us to be Masik Sisson. To be Masik Sisson, what does that mean? Hashem said you can't spend an hour with it. No, the Vilna Gaon would never say to other people that there's a din that you can't talk to your sister. He would never say that. He had something else that he was Isaac. In other words, his Indian was a very big Indian, the Indian of the Talmud Chacham. there's a certain tekipas adas of the Talmud Chacham, a certain clarity that the Talmud Chacham has, but the Talmud Chacham's way of looking at this world is not the way we look at this world. He looks at this world in an entirely different way. He looks at this world as very, very brief, very short, and with a lot to get done. Now imagine, we don't think like that, but imagine that you be in the situation that you are a hush of a big knacker of some sort of a professional, and you have your biggest client. Your biggest client is now on the verge of being brought around, like to some huge investment in your firm, or a potential client to some huge investment, and your kid passes by and says, "Daddy, could you have a catch with me?" And the father says, "Please, not now, Yankee. Not now. Go speak to mom. Go ask mom. Go ask your brother. Not now." Again, an outside observer that would just be seeing this would say, "What kind of father is he? What kind of father is he? Doesn't have a few minutes to play catch, to have a catch with his kid. He can't he, at least to talk to him and say, what is that?" So for the outside observer, this father is a chazari. But for the inside observer, he's engaged in something right now that ultimately will make this kid's life a lot better. And that they'll be able to have more catches later on, you know, at some point, whatever a catch will mean. But for those who are missing this midah of achzarius in Kedusha, it's almost impossible to be a Talmud Chacham. So he could be a genius, so he's able to know a lot. But to be Be'emes of Talmud Chacham, without this Nakuda of Achzaris the Kedusha, you can come up with any scenario that you like. And you could take that scene and you could say that this is a caring and wonderful and loving husband. And it would be true. It would be true. Those relationships where you have, where the wife expects the husband to always do, to take care of the shopping, to take care of the kids, switch off for the kids. No. And again, I'm not saying that's not a wonderful, neither. They're not wonderful people. About a Talmud Chacham is not a Talmud Chacham. Guaranteed he's not a Talmud Chacham. The one who spends half of his life in Home Depot or in Gourmet Glot is not a Talmud Chacham. An occasional cameo appearance, that's certainly, and if there's an emergency, that certainly would not necessarily in any way undermine his being a Talmud Chacham. But the regular Gourmet Glot dad, husband, he's not a Talmud Chacham. Try to find one like that. Not a Talmud Chacham. What's wrong with going shopping to help? What's wrong with that? You know, I remember years ago, I was talking about this Indian event. You have these men that they have to go shopping with their wives. Even when their wives go buying clothing, somebody was telling me that his father always goes along to see if he approves of what his wife buys. And to go to the grocery and to go shopping always together and something. So I was speaking about that Indian, that it's not an Indian. If you want to be a Talmud Chacham, it's not something that's shaykh. That's not the way to live. And it just happened that was on Shabbos. It happened on Sunday that my wife and I were coming back with the kids somewhere, and the kids were going crazy. And my wife needed some more milk or something from the bottle, and the kid was going crazy in the car. And we stopped by one of the groceries, and I would say that I was in the 30 plus years that we're living in the neighborhood, it was maybe the second time I was ever in that store, because I don't go around shopping to stores and so on. And I went to the store, and as soon as I got in, I met one of the Baal Batim from Shul. And one Dafka who enjoys talking. And by the time I got to Mincha Ma'arav, everybody was ready. "Oh, we heard you were in Supersol," wherever that was. "How was it in Supersol?" So you know, I botched it up the next day. But the Midah of Achzarius, again, it's very hard to talk about this because it's guaranteed to be taken the wrong way and misunderstood. The Talmud Chacham, not somebody running in here or running in there, but the Talmud Chacham is not the one that's playing with his kid day and night and has Rachmanis on the wife, Rachmanis on the kids. The Talmud Chacham is not. Nice guy. Very smart, so he knows a lot of things, yes, but an Emes of Talmud Chacham? No, not possible. If you don't lock yourself up and lock yourself away, not possible. It's just a Messias. You can't become a Talmud Chacham like that. You can't be a Talmud Chacham like that. The Gemara says, Achazari al-Banav al-Bnei Beis HaKar is not talking about being nasty or mean. Chas v'Shalom, it's not acceptable for a Jew to be nasty or mean. But it means that there are times where the father has to make himself kiel azar. There has to be some distance. It's a Talmud Chacham. Now, that would be terribly inappropriate for somebody else to act that way. And each family would there. You know, what's cruel is when a wife sees that her husband has time for other things, doesn't have time for her, doesn't have time for the kids, but he does enjoy a night out with the guys, where he enjoys watching a game, or he enjoys relaxing, you know, with a novel. But when she asks him for help, then he says, I have my shir, I have to learn. That's what he's talking about, something else. Anyway, so I want to make it clear, I'm not talking about these kind of games. We're talking about Rav Moshe Feinstein. We're talking about an emes of Talmud Chacham, a real Talmud who's loving and warm and wonderful and caring and kind, whose kids adore him, whose wife adores him. But to become a Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not by hanging out all day long with your wife and kids. It's not by indulging in everybody's need for him to be part of something, whether it's his own family or it's other people as well. That's just not how you become a Talmud Chacham. There's a time for everything. That's not how you become a Talmud Chacham. It's not Zayis de Kedusha. That's Zayis de Kedusha. Now, here can be Giyach Zayis al Talmud Chacham. Now, Kriya should be said offer. Chas v'Shalom. The Talmud Chacham is not a cold person. Chas v'Shalom. But the Talmud Chacham doesn't care about his kids. The Vilna Gaon didn't care about his sister. He didn't love his sister. The Talmud Chacham doesn't care about his children. It's not coming, God forbid, from coldness, the coldness of Ofer. Chas v'Shalom. Lo mishum agiyah achzarius. That's not where this achzarius comes from. It comes from fire. Chazal limdun shatam chacham tzarech liyos achzari al banav davka ka'orev. Uses the word like a raven. Lo kiyala or nachash. Doesn't say like the deer or like the snake. Kemosh l'akar v'yos l'achzari sheish b'chiyas ka'orev. The ya'ela, that animal, and the snake, they were talking about mama's coldness. But the orev, now we're talking about chiyus, the raven. Now we're talking about fire. The identifying characteristic of the Talmud Chacham is Daas. And therefore, the Medrash says that any Talmud Chacham doesn't have Daas, and the Vela, a dead carcass, is better than him. Chazal say that a Talmud Chacham is a person of Daas. In Cain, Gamach Zaryusa Abonav Bomikach Adas Dedusa. It's not because he's a cold person. A Talmud Chacham's achzaris to his family is not because he's cold. It's not because he doesn't love them. It's not because he doesn't care. It comes from what? Das. Das. It's a decision that comes from Kedusha. It's not that he's not relishing to have the catch with the kid. It comes from Das to Kedusha. It kan megir be'etzem mahalach amok ad ma'od. Amok ad ma'od. Now, this is going to take some more time. So we'll pick up with this, Mr. Shem, over here next week to explain the Das of Achzaris, the Das of Kedusha of Talmud Chacham. What does that mean? Shkana.